Well, hey everybody, happy Thanksgiving weekend, and welcome to episode 241 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, is brought to you by our good friends at Coldwell Banker Mid-America. Coldwell Banker is rooted in the legacy of our founder, renowned businessman and philanthropist, Marvin Pomeranz. We continue to tell his story through our love of people, homes, and the communities we serve. Our integrity guides our focus to empower people to make the best real estate decisions possible. We pair local ownership and knowledge with the power of an international brand and the most advanced technology to elevate the customer experience and expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. All right, well, we're going to talk some girls basketball today. My first guest is in his first season as the head coach of the Ankeny squad, and he has guided the 13th-ranked Hawkettes to an impressive 2-0 start. He is Nate Toby. Nate, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
Doing great. Thanks for having us, Dan.
Hey, you bet. Well, thanks for making some time today. You know, did you have a good Thanksgiving?
Yes, we did. Spent some time at my brother's house yesterday, so it was a good time.
Well, let's break down your first two games of the season. You guys traveled to Spencer last Saturday for your opener, and that'll be by far your longest trip of the year. Your team rolled to a 73-22 victory. But you told me the next day that maybe the biggest benefit for your players wasn't the game itself, but rather just having a lot of time to spend with each other. You know, it was just a good team bonding experience, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. And we have girls who have been involved in a lot of different sports and activities over the summer. And, you know, we've had great participation, but to have our team fully together for a full day like that was a great experience. And I felt like we got the most we could have out of that game as well. And, you know, we learned a lot about our team in the process.
Well, your team had 20 steals and forced 27 turnovers in that game. And I know Spencer isn't as good as most of the teams that you'll face this year, but, you know, that kind of defensive intensity and production is really going to be crucial for your team's success, isn't it?
Yeah, and we saw it again against Cedar Falls, just the ball pressure and, you know, us being aggressive in the past lanes really disrupts teams, and I'm sure teams will make adjustments as the season goes on, but it's been fun to see our girls adapt to the new style and have fun with it.
Well, Jayla Williams, your talented sophomore, poured in a career-high 28 points on 11 of 16 shooting in that game. She also grabbed 7 rebounds. I know she's picked up a lot of Division I offers in the offseason. She seems to be playing with so much confidence this year. She was number 6 on the Des Moines Register's preseason list of the state's top 50 players going into the season. You know, she can just do so many different things well on the court, can't she?
Yeah, she's a lot of fun to watch and coach, and, you know, her ability to just do so many different things on both ends of the court opens up a lot of possibilities for us as a team. And she's just become so much more well-rounded since the spring and added to her game in ways that just open up a lot of things for her and her teammates.
And then Ainsley Keene also had a big game with a career-high 16 points and 7 steals. You know, she's another young player who's being asked to take on a larger role this season, and she's really stepped up, hasn't she?
Yeah, she's been awesome all offseason, and she's hit a ton of shots for us all summer, all fall, in the games that we've played, and it was no surprise to see that continue due to her work ethic during our first game.
Well, then on Tuesday, you guys had a much tougher test as number 6 Cedar Falls came to Ankeny, and it certainly didn't look good for a while as the Tigers led by as many as 13 points, but your team battled back and forced overtime and eventually pulled away for a 60-55 victory. I know it was only one game and it's early in the season, but you know, that was such a remarkable win. What do you think it's going to do for your team's confidence?
Yeah, I think it's huge for our confidence. They're an outstanding team, and they'll be a contender at the end of the year to win a title, and they have two really good guards, and that was great practice for us on what we need to do defensively to take away some of the things that they like to do. But yeah, just huge confidence boost, and you know, even when we were down 13, I never felt like we were out of it just because of the way the game was going, and we were getting good shots, just not converting them. And Carson and some others made some adjustments offensively that you know, enabled us to finish some shots and ultimately get the win that we needed going into our Thanksgiving break.
Well, yeah, we got to talk about the performance of your player sitting here with us today, Carson Jacks. You know, she just put your team onto her back and scored a career-high 30 points, 23 of them after halftime to lead the way. You know, she just had an incredible night, didn't she?
Yeah, she did. And, you know, you realize it during the game, but after I've gone back and watched a film, you just realize how special a lot of those plays were that she made. And a lot of them were just effort plays, you know, getting to her spots and ones and offensive rebounds. And then she was also playing really hard defensively, too, against one of the best players in the state. So we ask a lot of her, and she's responded really well in terms of her leadership and effort with everything that we've done. And it was great to see her rewarded with that type of performance against Cedar Falls.
Well, you mentioned how she scored. She did have 3 3-pointers. She went 7 of 8 at the free throw line, but she did score, you know, the rest of her points on some drives to the basket where she was shooting over some taller defenders. You know, she also had a huge basket off an offensive rebound there in the lane late in overtime. You know, she's just kind of fearless when she takes it to the hole, isn't she?
Yeah, she is. And I think part of that, she's a has played so much basketball and against so many great players and so many big games, and just that experience level gives her a lot of confidence that she can get to her spots and finish plays. And you know, that's what we were asking for. But game one, she had 2 points, but mm-hmm. she also had, you know, 8 assists and 7 steals, and she just does what the team needs her to do, and I really appreciate that. And I think that's, she's going to have more big games as the season goes on.
Well, your team trailed at the half 24-16. Cedar Falls' Grace Knudsen, a Drake recruit, had 11 points in the first half, including back-to-back threes there in the second quarter. What was your message to the team at halftime? Did you guys make very many adjustments?
We made some, yeah. We pressed a little bit in the middle part of the game, and I think that helped just open things up for us offensively. We didn't get many steals out of it, but it sped them up and got them off of their spots. And then, you know, we also just kind of doubled down on trying not to let Finley and Knutson get easy three-point looks and making them drive into our help defense. So we adapted and did a nice job with that. And it was just good to see the girls be able to be flexible and make some small but meaningful changes throughout the course of the game.
Well, the Tigers took their biggest lead, 31-18 in the third quarter. Carson hit a three-pointer to kind of ignite your rally. But after the Tigers regained a 12-point advantage, you guys got back-to-back threes from Kyla Shopville that I thought were really big, because, you know, that allowed you to cut the deficit to 8 at the end of the period. And if she doesn't hit those shots, I'm not sure if you guys come back or not.
Yeah, there's so many plays like that during the course of the game, but I definitely highlighted those threes as well as I was rewatching the game as huge plays for us and get the momentum going into the fourth quarter and make us feel like we have some hope moving forward. And Jade Mosier on one of those plays made a great kick out to Kyla to find her. And then from there, Carson found her on another drive and kick. And Kyla's made some huge shots for us as well all off season. And, you know, I really don't know where we'd be without her, especially with Savannah's injury. And she's really stepped up. And even defensively in her first year varsity experience, made some huge plays and shown that she can definitely hang at the varsity level.
Well, in the rest of the game, you know, turned into the Carson show. She's scored your team's first 11 points of the fourth quarter. Then she later made 2 free throws with 6.5 seconds left to send the game into overtime. You know, you certainly had all the momentum going into overtime. You had to feel pretty good about your chances at that point.
Yeah, I did. And you just wanted that shot in overtime to, you know, extend the game. And I felt like we had a lot of the momentum and we'd figure some things out offensively. Mainly Carson had figured some things out offensively. But yeah, really happy with the result. And just overall, it gave us so much information about our team that'll be helpful moving forward.
Well, Carson had a three-pointer from the top of the key with the shot clock winding down with 1:44 left to put your team ahead for good. And then Jayla followed with another three about 30 seconds later. You know, Cedar Falls couldn't get closer than 2 points the rest of the way. Now, Knudsen finished with 24 points and Finley added 17, but those two were combined 13 of 32 from the field. I thought you guys really made them work for their points.
Yeah, I think there's some things we can alter and fix there so they're not getting 32 shot attempts up, but we tried to make things as difficult as we could for them. And you know, we don't have our full complement of players right now to run at them, but I think overall we worked really hard against them and made every shot attempt as difficult as we could. And they're two really, really good players, so they're going to take them a long way, I think, this season.
Well, Nate, you were previously an assistant coach for the Ankeny boys team, and you helped the Hawks to a state title in 2020. You were hired back in April to take over the girls program. What would you say was the biggest challenge for you in taking over the program?
You know, there were so many good things, like, you know, the transition was so much easier because I knew the girls and, you know, I've been around and it's the same school. I'm not transitioning to a different school. So we were really able to hit the ground running. I wouldn't say there was a major adjustment by any means. And it was helpful that, you know, I was able to meet with Carson and all of the players individually heading into the summer and just set goals and make some plans with them. You know, and I think since then we've done some good things in the off season and made some progress, but I wouldn't say there was any major adjustment. The girls have done a nice job with everything we've asked them to do. And likewise, you know, having some of the same staff members helping out has helped with the transition too, with Coach Birdwell and Coach Meyer staying on. They've been tremendous assets to the program.
Well, of course, your team's top returning player is junior Savannah Gage, and she earned All-State honors a year ago after averaging more than 16 points per game. But she tore her ACL while playing an AU game in April, and she's still recovering. But she'll obviously be a big addition to the lineup, you know, if and when she can return. So are you pretty confident that she'll be back at some point?
Yeah, she will. You know, really, it's almost like a week-to-week thing with her right now, just making sure we're picking the right game and talking about how many minutes she's going to play as she returns. So there's some conversations to have, but we'll definitely see her back in the lineup this year.
All right. Well, you guys will open CIML conference play next week. And boy, your schedule over the next few weeks is just brutal. You'll travel to number 8 Waukee on Tuesday, and then you'll go to number 1 Johnston on Friday, followed by a trip to number 11 Southeast Polk on December 5th. And then after playing a couple of non-conference games, then you'll have 3 more conference games on the road before Christmas. You go to number 10 Waukee Northwest, to number 3 Dallin Catholic, and number 5 Ankeny Centennial. You know, if the schedule was made randomly, how is it possible that you have to play your first 6 conference games on the road?
You know, we're okay with it. It is what it is. There's not much we can control there, obviously, and it is nice that after break then we get some home games right in a row, but yeah, we'll be fine. You know, I think if we continue to play with the level of effort and competitiveness and drive, I don't think the road and home thing will bother us too much. We have a lot of really experienced players and to lead us in that, but yeah, it's tough certainly, but no matter how the schedule shakes out, it's going to be difficult with the teams that we're playing.
Well, yeah, the nine teams in your conference are ranked in the top 13 in Class 5A. You know, so your conference season is just going to be a gauntlet again this year. There's not going to be any nights off, is there?
No, and I'm sure there'll be a team that has like 9 or 10 wins that's in the state semifinals again, and just the record doesn't mean a whole lot in our conference. It's, you know, where you're at the end of the season, and that's what I've been trying to tell the girls, just have the big picture mentality that we want to be playing our best basketball at the end and give ourselves the best possible chance with a sub-state that's manageable, but no sub-state's really going to be manageable when you have CIML teams involved. So we'll keep harping on that and try to play our best basketball at the end.
Let's just touch briefly on those two opponents coming up next week. Waukee opened the season with a 71-45 win over Cedar Rapids, Washington on Tuesday. The Warriors returned their top 4 scorers from last year, led by Kirsten Houck and Sophia Hope. You know, they're a really experienced team, don't they?
Yeah, they're really good. We played them in fall league and they were missing a couple players, but they were still really effective and well coached. And, you know, when you return that level of production, they're going to be solid all year. And we look forward to the challenge, though. I think we'll be just fine. And we have some things to work on before then. But really, really looking forward to seeing how our momentum from the Cedar Falls game carries into the Waukee game.
Well, then your team will have to go to Johnston, and the Dragons are probably the consensus favorite to win the state title this year. The Dragons already boasted 3 of the state's top 17 players on the Register's preseason list, including the number 1 player in Jenica Lewis, and now they've added the number 8 player in North transfer Imani Jenkins, who is committed to Marquette. So are you having some sleepless nights trying to figure out how you're going to beat that team?
we'll look at Waukee first, certainly, but yeah, I mean, we've watched them over the summer play and stuff, and in the offseason, there's not a great answer on how to handle any of that with Johnston. And it doesn't seem like anybody has the right answer, but we'll give it our best shot. I know our girls aren't going to be scared. You know, it's just another team for them. They know all the girls. They're friends with a lot of them. So we'll give it our best shot, and we'll learn from that game no matter what happens.
Well, it should be a fun week ahead. I'll see you over there at Waukee on Tuesday. I think, Nate, thanks for coming in today.
Thank you, Dan.
You bet. All right, well, my other guest today is a senior guard for the Hawkettes. She poured in a career-high 30 points in the overtime win against Cedar Falls on Tuesday. She is Carson Jacks. Carson, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
Good. Thank you for having me.
Hey, you bet. Well, thanks for coming in today. You know, how was your Thanksgiving?
Oh, it was pretty good.
Well, did you guys have to practice yesterday, or did Coach give you guys the entire day off?
We had the day off.
Oh, that's good. We deserved a break after Tuesday's game. I don't know how many minutes you played that night, but I don't think you got too many breaks. Were you pretty tired afterwards?
Yeah, I was definitely feeling it the next day.
Well, Carson, let's break down those first two games with you as well. In the opener at Spencer, you took just 4 shots and scored just 2 points, like Coach mentioned, but you dished out 8 assists and had 6 steals. You told me after the game on Tuesday that your job is to get the ball to the players who can make plays, and I guess that's what you did that night, isn't it?
I mean, yeah. I mean, Jayla was having a great night. She had, 28? Ainsley had 16. And even our bench players are getting a lot of shots up, and they're making a lot, so...
Well, Coach talked about what a good team bonding experience that trip was. Did you feel like it was beneficial as well?
Yeah, I thought it was really good for, like, everyone to get together. Being at our first game of the season, everyone got a lot closer.
Well, prior to Tuesday's game, your previous career high of 21 points came in a loss at Johnston 2 seasons ago. You know, going into the game, did you feel any different? Did you have any idea that, you know, you were going to have the game of your life?
I did not. I just knew that I wanted to go in. I mean, it was a big game, obviously. It's our second game. It was number 6, and... I mean, not having Savannah, we knew it was tough for her to be sitting on the bench, and we knew we wanted to get that win for her. So I think that was just like, we wanted to go in, we wanted to get the win.
Now, have you ever had a game like that at any level, like maybe before high school or an AAU play?
I've had a couple, but it doesn't happen very often that you score that much.
What was the mood in the locker room like at halftime? How much confidence did you have that you guys could come back?
I mean, we were down, 8 points? I mean, we knew that's 2-3 shots. We're back in the game. So we were all really confident, and we just knew that we needed to make some little changes here and there to get back in the game.
Well, we talked with Coach about Kaido's big 2 3-pointers there at the end of the third quarter. That brought your team back to within 8, but that was still the same deficit that you had at the half. So what did Coach tell you guys in the break before the fourth quarter? Did he tell you to take over the game?
Honestly, I don't even remember. I mean, I think that it was just really locked down on defense, really. I mean, because I'm sure they were tired. It was a fast-paced game. You don't really see that outside the CIML. And so it was just kind of sit on your defense and work the ball around, get your shot.
Well, you came out and scored your team's first 11 points of the fourth period. You had 4 baskets during that stretch, all of them in the lane or on drives to the hoop. You know, you just seemed to be playing with so much confidence. Did you feel like you were unstoppable there for a while?
I mean, they just kept giving me my right hand. I'm the most dominant on my right hand. And I was like, if they're just going to keep giving it to me, I'm just going to keep going and try and get my team back into it.
Well, you eventually hit the 2 free throws with 6.5 seconds left to send the game into overtime. And I know you told me afterwards that you were pretty confident that you would make both of those shots. Did you practice your free throws quite a bit?
Yeah, for the most part, I have, yeah.
Well, Cedar Falls still had time for a final shot, but they turned it over, and you came up with the ball and actually had a desperation heave from about half court that could have won the game. And with the way you were, you know, on such a hot streak, maybe you'd hit that shot too. Did you think you had a chance to go in?
I mean, I was a little bit behind half court, and I mean, I thought that I had a little bit of the distance on it, but I thought it was a little bit off. I was like, it's unfortunate, but got to get.
That would have been a fun way to end the game, huh? If you could have made that.
It definitely would have been a crazy end.
Well, then over time, you hit the big 3-pointer with the shot clock winding down that put your team ahead for good. And I know the game wasn't over at that point, but, you know, you had to be feeling pretty good about your chances after taking the lead.
I was definitely confident, but I knew that, you know, they could come back. Grace, I mean, she's a really good player. She can hit. She can get her shot off really fast. So it was like we got still locked down on defense and finish the game.
We scored off an offensive rebound while being fouled with 37.8 seconds left. And then you grabbed another offensive rebound and were fouled with 18 seconds to go. And you hit both of those free throws to pretty much seal the win. And I don't know how many rebounds you had, but are you trying to focus a little bit more on that part of your game too?
Yeah, for some reason, I've always gotten like a good amount of rebounds. I mean, I know a couple years ago, I led the team. I had triple-digit rebounds, so I don't know. I mean, I think that, I mean, Birdie always tells us it's not about the size of the dog, but the fight, but the size of the fight. So I think it's really about effort, and I think every time that we get the chance to get another shot or to get the rebound to stop them from getting a shot, that, I mean, it just puts us in a better position to win.
Well, the way you took over the game was kind of reminiscent of the game you guys had 2 years ago against Centennial when Jenna Pitts took over and scored 15 of her 24 points in the fourth quarter to lead your team to its first win ever against the Jaguars. You know, do you see some parallels to that game?
I mean, it's two very different teams, but I mean, I played with Jenna for 3 years, and you know, throughout that, we had a lot of like tough games that we've had to be in. So, I mean, I don't know. It's just.
We talked with Coach about your upcoming schedule over the next few weeks. You know, what was your reaction when you saw the schedule?
I was a little shocked that we have so many away games. Usually they try and split it up where you have, you know, 2-3 and then you have a home game. But I was like, at least we get all of our away games done with before winter break, and then we get to focus on all of our home games.
Well, yeah, it's crazy that you have all those conference games on the road, and all of them are against teams that are actually ranked higher than you. But does the win over Cedar Falls give you confidence that you guys can go on the road and maybe knock off some of those teams?
I mean, yeah, definitely the CIML. You know, the rankings may put us all at different spots, but I think for the most part, most of the teams are all very close talent-wise, and so I think every night it's a dogfight, and it's a throw-up for whoever has the best night.
Well, we talked with Coach about Savannah's return to the lineup. You know, she's such a great player. I'm sure you'd love to have her back on the court. Do you think your role will change a little bit, you know, if and when she comes back? Because she would obviously give you guys another big scoring threat.
I mean, I think that my role will pretty much stay the same. It's still to get the ball to the players that can make the plays. Savannah's obviously going to make a lot of plays, so it's just get her the ball to where she can be successful.
Well, Carson, you've played on some good teams in the last few years, but you guys have lost in the regional final each of the last 3 seasons. You know, you just haven't been able to get over that hump, and I'm sure your goal is to get to state this year. What would that mean to you to finish your career at Wells Fargo Arena?
I mean, we've been thinking about it since my freshman year. We've been really close the last 2 years, so I think it'd just be really special. I mean, not just for me and the other seniors, but for the rest of the girls that have been there with us.
Well, before I let you go, I just wanted to ask you about your future plans. I'm sure you'd like to play in college. Have you looked at any schools yet?
Yeah, I'm actually committed to play basketball at Simpson.
Oh, okay. Well, congratulations on that. Thought maybe we might have got a few calls after that game the other night. Well, thanks a lot for coming today. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. At Coldwell Banker, you're not one of many clients, you're our most important client. We listen to your needs to develop long-lasting relationships and provide the best services, professional support, and resources in the industry. We're constantly exploring new and innovative ways to elevate your experience and exceed your expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. Well, I want to thank my guests again for coming in today. We had Ankeny Girls Basketball Coach Nate Tobey and senior guard Carson Jacks. I appreciate their time on this busy holiday weekend, and I hope everybody has a great weekend, and we'll be back next week with another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.